You're listening to the Raising Humans Kind podcast with family psychologist Ashley, where we dive into the big topics, the stuff that really matters in raising your small humans kindly, so that together we can raise humankind. In this series, you're going to hear solo episodes from me all about the needs of our stuck and sensitive kids. I hope it challenges you, and I hope it inspires you to find your own unique pathway in raising your small human kindly. Welcome back, wonderful people. It's time for another episode, and today I'm going to talk to you about minimizing toys respectfully. Because if you're anything like me, toys might also have been the bane of your existence over the last few years. So I seem to have figured out a thing or two about how to manage this world that seems to be so obsessed and filled with stuff, and our children who just want to be a part of it. And I want to share that with you today. But before I do, I want to let you know that if you are a parent of a child with anxiety, I am running a class for you August 31st, 9:30 a.m. Melbourne time. The replay will be available. It will be yours to keep, so you can watch it whenever you want. And essentially inside this class, I am going to teach you what you need to know so that you can support your child's anxiety at home. And my mission here is to get less kids in therapy and more parents feeling like they are equipped to know what to do around their child's anxiety. And you know, the best thing about teaching parents is that what gets to happen is the child looks up to the parent as their hero, as the person who understands emotions, as the person who knows how to shift that really uncomfortable state of anxiety for them. And there's so many reasons why that's so important, but one of them is that then anytime that child goes through a really hard time, they have this trust and this knowing that their parent has the answers. And I think that that's really powerful. And so my job in this class is to give you the answers so that then you can translate it back to your child. And I think that that's just the most powerful way to support children. Okay, so if you've got any questions about the class at all, you can email me, ashley@holisticfamilypsychologist.com, or you can go and DM me over at Instagram @raisinghumanskind. But otherwise, if you want to jump inside, head over to holisticfamilypsychologist.com and go to anxiety class. And I will link that below as well. All right, so let's get started talking about minimizing toys. So for my family, a toy rotation has never worked because my kids were always just obsessed with what was inside the cupboard, right? So even if you pack things away, it didn't really work because anytime they'd start to play, they'd start to wonder, well, what else is in the cupboard? Can we get that out? Can we get that out? And it just never allowed for deep play. So it was pretty early on that I cut the idea of having a toy rotation. And we have a pretty small house with very minimal storage anyway, so that wasn't really a sustainable option for us. So I always needed to keep a very minimal amount of toys because I didn't have an option to do a toy rotation. I also have kind of wondered what it must be like to walk in as a kid and see a house filled with toys. And I wonder what message that gives to children about toys and play and how often maybe we should be playing with them. It just makes me wonder what they think if the house is filled with toys. And I don't know. I think all kids would think something different. But to me, I just wanted it to be a small aspect of our home. I didn't want it to be the primary thing that they saw in our house. I wanted it to just be a part of our home, not the whole home. So that felt important to me too. And the other thing I've noticed about my kids and lots of kids that I work with is I find that they go deeper into their play when they actually have less. They kind of get more creative. And so just the other day, I shared this on Instagram. You might have heard this story, but my child wanted to play basketball, and so he had a little softball, and he got a basket that his cars had normally been in, and he put it on top of a chair, on top of a stool, and so it was like quite high up, and then he played like a game of basketball. And I just love everything that he had to create to make that happen. And I think that that's a really powerful part of play that gets missed if the child has access to every single toy. So there's lots of reasons, and I think I could do a whole episode on why our kids need less, but let's jump now into five ways that we can minimize toys respectfully. Okay, so the first one is a very common one and it's known as space boundaries. I have no idea who first said this, but this is a pretty widely spread idea that gets kind of circulated around the culture of minimalism. And someone in particular, again, I wish I could credit them for their brilliant language, but someone particularly said, make boundaries the bad guy. And I love that saying. So essentially, this is about having a dedicated space for something and then allowing the child to see that once that space is full, it's now time to make decisions about what needs to go and what needs to be prioritized. So I do this particularly with things that can get out of hand really quickly, like books, because often people, especially when they know you're not big into toys, they'll gift you books, which is beautiful, but same thing can happen. You can end up with books all over the house, or little things like little cars. So for books, for example, I have two boxes, and when those boxes start to get full, we go through them. Which ones don't we read anymore? Which ones do you think we can put into a box for gifts to other friends? Which ones do we think we could give away? And the kids really become part of that decision-making process with me. So, and that's not always true. Sometimes I just do it on their behalf and let them know which ones I'm decided to get rid of. And I just blame the space. So look, oh, the boxes are getting full again. So we need to start making some decisions. Same with dress-ups, because dress-ups are those things that can kind of just grow and grow and grow. And teddies. And so I have one basket for each of those. And once that basket starts to get full, we start to go through together and make decisions. Which ones do you really love? Which ones are really important to you? Which ones do you use all the time? And I think it's just a really important practice of learning how to look after your stuff and not keep everything. And then I also have shelves I also use as boundaries as well. So I have particular shelves that the toys can go on and particular baskets that work for certain toys, you know, so I've got a basket for soft toys, for example, but then there's a certain amount of shelves for toys. And so when those shelves start to get full, that's when we also start to make decisions about the toys that are on there. What's important? What do you still use? What do you love? And what are you ready to give away to another family? And so the space becomes the boundary. And then there's not a lot of discussion or negotiation. It's just like, okay, well, this is the space I'm willing for this amount of toys to take up in our house. And now you get to choose which ones you want to put in there. So I think it gives a lot of control and power to the child while still honoring the family's need for the toys not to spread out everywhere. So that's the first one, is space boundaries. The second one is called the last chance rule, and this comes from Rachel Rainbolt, and she does beautiful work on minimalism and attachment parenting, and you can find her over at Sage Family, and she's got a great podcast as well, which is really worth diving into. And I heard this from her. So what she does is she clearly explains to her kids, you know, this toy, for example, we're about to give it away to another family, but this is the last chance to play with it. So I'm going to put it here in the middle of the lounge room, play with it as long as you need, take as long as time as you want to just really enjoy it. And then once they stop playing with it, she then takes it and gives it away. And so it's a really nice way of honoring and being honest with your child. You're explaining that it's going, but you're giving them a last chance to play. And I think that this is especially important for kids who are really attached to their stuff. And I think that there's a lot of conversation about how we can just get rid of toys and it's fine. And I like that idea. Like, I do. I like that idea. But I know that there's some kids who are really attached to their toys. And I think it would create a lot of anxiety if they knew that one day you could just come in and throw their toys away. And I think for some of those kids, it's a really important thing to do it honestly, while also taking the lead on it. So the last chance rule is a really good one for kids who you need to kind of be really honest with, and it could create anxiety for them if you were just cleaning up and passing on things that they loved. So the third point is that I always get rid of toys before Christmas and birthdays. So I find that making a ritual before Christmas and birthdays, which is the time that my children would get presents, obviously everybody's different, And we go through the toys and I ask them, you know, what do you not really play with anymore? What do you not love? What do you not use so much? What do you think other kids would get more use of than you are getting right now? How do we kind of make space? Because we know that new things are going to come in. And I find that the energy that they have for this process right before birthdays and Christmas is really high. So they're really willing and they're excited that new stuff might come in. And so they're really willing to be a bit more ruthless when it comes to getting rid of things. So that's just a ritual that we have created that they know is coming and is just part of what we do. And I think really helps with the whole process of keeping things minimal. So my fourth one is swapping for something new. Now, I don't want to do this every single time, but I did this recently when I probably halved our toys. I actually, if you're a newsletter subscriber of mine, you might remember that a little while ago, I sent out a newsletter with all the toys that I had prioritized keeping. And when I went through the list, I was like, whoa, it's way more than I thought it was. I didn't actually think we had that many toys, but there's actually a heap there. And when I wrote that list, I thought, oh, maybe I won't send this email. And I thought, no, I'll send it anyway. But after that, after just kind of like doing a little like noticing of all of the toys that we had, I realized we had a lot. And so I wanted to really simplify again. And so after that, I pretty much halved maybe our toy collection, maybe not quite. And because that was such a big, cull. There was like two or three boxes that went to the thrift store. And so what I said to my kids was, these are the boxes that I've packed up. These are the toys that I don't think that you use very much anymore. You can have a look through them if you like. And what I think we should do is we should give these toys to another family. And I think that in exchange for that, you can both choose a new toy each. And so we're going to get rid of these three boxes. And you can choose something new. So for my eldest, I said, you know, you can have a new Lego. And for my youngest, if you've been following along on Instagram, that's where we got Elmo, who he absolutely adores. So the first ever TV-based toy that we've had and the first ever toy that we've had that makes noise other than a musical instrument. And so my son got a new Lego set and my little one got an Elmo. But we said goodbye to three boxes and they were really happy to do that. And so I wouldn't want to do that every single time, but I felt like that was a really big shift where I was kind of thinking, okay, you know what? I think we just need to halve the amount of toys we have. And so that felt like a good way of doing it. So I would do that occasionally if I want to swap quite a few boxes for one new thing. And then my fifth way of minimizing toys respectfully is to choose which presents we keep. So there's a little bit of an idea that if somebody gifts us something, that we have to keep it. And I really want my children to know that that's not actually entirely true. And so whenever we get something new, we thank the person and we show our gratitude and then we decide whether or not it's something that we actually want to keep. So recently we got a huge box of Play-Doh toys and chocolate molds and lots of different stuff from a family member, which was lovely and really thoughtful, and my kids really enjoyed it. And so we played with it for a day, and then I said, okay, you know, choose five of the chocolate molds and we need to find a space for them in the kitchen. And if you can find a space, then we'll keep those. If not, we'll choose only three. And so my kids went and found the space in the kitchen, and that was fine. There was space, so I was happy to keep five. And then I got them to choose out a couple of the Play-Doh tools and put them in their Play-Doh tool set. And then we handed the rest on. And so it's been a really important thing for me to help my children understand that even when something's gifted to you, you can show gratitude and you can choose not to keep it. Like those two things aren't tied together. You can be really grateful for the thought and you can be really grateful for the generosity. And it doesn't mean that you have to keep it in your space and look after it. And I think one of the things that I really found tricky when it came to coming to terms with that was I had a really hard time accepting that it wasn't mine to hold when it came to people buying like little plastic toys or things that would break or things that I knew my children weren't going to be able to look after. And I was kind of holding the weight of the sustainability of the world around that. And then I would feel the need to compensate by keeping it or holding onto it, or I would feel bad every time that it broke. And one of the things that I realized was actually I didn't purchase that thing. And while of course I'm going to support my children to look after it and I'm going to really make sure that we try and do that, I can't hold the guilt around those toys coming into the world because I didn't buy them. And it wasn't actually my choice. And so I really had to notice that I was unconsciously trying to compensate by keeping everything because I felt bad that these toys were had been bought and were now on the planet, just like little plastic toys that were going to break and not last at all. And so when I realized that actually that wasn't my weight to hold, it was much easier to go, okay, which of these do we want to keep? And which of these do I know my children can look after and actually really use? And which of these are we ready to pass on? Well, really sharing with my children that we can be grateful without keeping everything because we have a certain amount of space and we have a certain amount of capacity to look after a certain amount of things. And when that gets too much, we often, you know, don't look after our things or we find it really stressful. And so it's our responsibility to choose what comes into our home and choose the amount of stuff that we think that we can really look after. And so that's kind of just the message that I guess has floated around our home over the last few years. Okay, so essentially these are the ways that I minimize toys respectfully. So I hold space boundaries and then I get my kids to choose which ones they want to keep. I do Rachel's last chance rule, where sometimes I'll pull one or two things out that I know are ready to go and I'll get them to play with that until they're done. And once they're done, I'll pass it on. We have a ritual of getting rid of things before Christmas and birthdays. Occasionally, I'll swap quite a few toys, and I mean like multiple boxes for one new thing. And when it comes to presents, I'm really mindful of not keeping everything just because it's been gifted to us. And we will choose what we keep according to what we love, what we think we can look after, and what we have space for. And I pass that on to my children and I join them in that conversation as well. Okay, so that's it for today's episode. I hope this gives you some ideas of how you can simplify toys while still respecting your child's love for them. Have a beautiful week, everybody, and I'll see you again next week. Thank you for joining me. If you loved this episode and want more like this, leave a review or screenshot this podcast, share it in your Instagram stories and tag me at Raising Humans Kind. This is such a powerful way to support the podcast and means it will reach more parents who need to hear this message. And if you want to dive deeper, check out the show notes for all the further information so that we can raise our small humans kindly and together we can raise human kind.